Good morning, all you wonderful people. Will you turn to Matthew 18, please? Matthew 18. I call this sermon Forgiveness Math. How much and how often? What's our forgiveness math? How often do we forgive each other? How often does God forgive us? How much do we forgive each other? How much does God forgive us? Jesus uses numbers, although he makes it pretty clear this is not about the numbers. So how many times do we forgive? Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Peter's question's probably an honest question. How many times, Lord, would be enough? I'm willing to set the number high, Lord, seven times. I will forgive my brother or sister seven times. Would seven be enough? Peter does want to put a limit on it, though. He wants forgiving another person to come to an end. I've forgiven you this many times, and from now on, no more. What he's really asking is, Lord, where can I draw the line? Jesus begins, I tell you, okay, that's for emphasis. It's like an exclamation mark, and Jesus puts it at the beginning of the sentence, so everyone knows this will be important. I tell you, 77 times, says Jesus. I think Peter thought forgiving another person seven times was pretty good. Actually, it is pretty good. But it's not nearly enough, said Jesus. But people, don't be counting 77 times. In family life, over the years, we do get to 77, I'm sure, though I have not kept track. Maybe somebody keeps track of how many times they've forgiven me. That could well be up to 77. When Jesus says, Peter, not seven, but 77, what he's really saying is, Peter, it does not end. You don't get to draw a line. You keep on forgiving. And I'll tell you a story to explain why you keep on forgiving. And Jesus tells the story that we'll go over in a few minutes. But forgiving doesn't end. In the whole of Matthew 18, Jesus is teaching on life among his followers. How will his followers, disciples, treat each other? Jesus taught them how to treat each other. This is church life, then it is certainly also our own family lives. Jesus assumed that among his followers, among his disciples, among the righteous, there would be a lot of people doing things to each other that they should not do. His followers were going to sin against each other. And I'll say this again. The way Jesus talks about his followers forgiving each other, there's no way he was or is surprised that there are a lot of offenses in the church, believers mistreating each other. That's no surprise to Jesus. And Paul writes in the same way. It was no surprise to him either. We are still surprised and indignant. We say that should never happen in the church, which is true, of course. Jesus didn't like it, but he expected it. And so he taught us to forgive. Will you turn to Luke 17? Just briefly, Luke 17. Jesus told Peter a story to help people understand why forgiving never ends. That's in Matthew. But first we'll look at two verses in Luke that are similar to what Jesus told Peter and Matthew, but they're also a bit different. Luke 17:3. Jesus is not answering a question from Peter. He's just teaching. Forgive your brother or your sister. How many times in a day? Luke 17:3. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. So we forgive our brother or sister seven times a day. Every day, seven times. Don't count people. That's not what this is about. The point is lots of forgiveness every single day. Let's do some forgiveness math. If Jesus said we should forgive each other 7 times a day, how many times do you think God will forgive you in a day? I don't know, but 7 would just be the start. It's common for believers to have sins they struggle with. We get lots of things right, but in 1 or 2 matters we stumble, and we do the same thing again and again. 7 times a day might actually be right, and we fear that God has lost patience, that he no longer forgives us, and we fear that he's turned away from us because we've done it so often. So I say again, if Jesus said we should forgive each other 7 times a day, how many times do you think God will forgive you in a day? I'll tell you, 7 would just be the start. In Luke, Jesus said, if they sin and come to you saying, I repent, you forgive them. In Matthew, Jesus does not give us that out. He just says, forgive them. Let's talk about apologizing, the process we call apologize. The biblical words are confess and repent. So confess means we name the sin, we say what we've done. The problem with I'm sorry is that there's no confession, and sometimes it's not clear what I'm sorry for. So confess, name the thing you did wrong. And repent means agree it was wrong, and you say you wish you hadn't done it. I did this, say what you did, it was wrong, I wish I had not done it. We need to talk like this to God, and we need to talk like this to each other, especially in our families, but in the church and everywhere. I did this thing. It was wrong, and name it, clearly. It was wrong, I wish I had not done it. You can ask for forgiveness, but you don't actually need to. Perhaps it took you a few hours or a few days before you were ready to say, I did this. It was wrong. I wish I had not done it. And if it took you hours or days to say that, give the person you offended just as long to get to the place where they will forgive you. They don't have to forgive you immediately. That's not your job. You confess and repent. And you don't have a right to their forgiveness. Do not demand it. You don't have a right to it. If and when they forgive is their business. Let them sort out forgiving. And if you and I never talk to people like that, then why not? Have we not offended other people? Are they just to get over it? In Luke's version of this teaching of Jesus, the sinner goes to the person they sinned against 7 times in a day and says, I sinned against you. It was wrong. I wish I had not done it. It's quite possible that the person you confessed to also hurt you and did things that hurt you and sinned against you. Do not bring that up in the same conversation. If you're going there to repent, don't bring it up. Don't tell them in the same conversation it was really their fault. Don't tell them that what they did was just as bad. If they volunteer these things, fine. But in that conversation, let it go. This is just about you going and repenting. If you need to bring up with them what they did, do it at a different time. I will say that in the biggest things I have had to forgive in other people, there was no confession, no repentance, no I'm sorry, there was no apology. In Matthew 18, we just forgive. I forgave someone because I was so hurt and angry that it was twisting me. The hurt and anger filled me. I forgave in self-defense, because if I did not, I felt like the resentment that came up again and again would destroy me. I was becoming an angry man. I was becoming a dark, angry man. I did not want that. So I forgave, and God helped me again and again. And now we will go back to Matthew 18 and read the story Jesus told Peter to explain why Peter needed to forgive 77 times. Not just 7 times. Why do we forgive 77 times? And we'll start in Matthew 18:23. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, A man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." So let's go over this more carefully. There was a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. In Greek, a bag of gold is a talent. 10,000 talents, that's a lot of money. It's a huge amount. In our day, billions and billions of dollars. Jesus deliberately used an extreme number. Peter wanted the math. He wanted to know how many times would be enough. So Jesus lays out the math for Peter. The man owes $85 billion. "Be patient with me and I will pay back everything." This is ridiculous. And we're supposed to get that. The man has a wife and children. In his whole lifetime, he cannot feed or clothe his family and pay off in even one talent. He owes 10,000. It would take him thousands and thousands of lifetimes to pay off that debt. Can you feel this? I'm not exaggerating the numbers. How long would it take me to pay off $85 billion? Jesus wants us to understand how much God has forgiven us. This pictures our debt to God. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. The servant did not even ask for forgiveness. He just asked for patience, but the king gave him the whole thing, canceled it, and let him go. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. The coin here is a denarius. One day's pay for a minimum wage worker. It's 4 or 5 months' wage for a minimum wage worker. We could look at it that way. It's big enough to matter. It's not nothing. But it's a lot smaller than $85 billion. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged, "Be patient with me. I will pay it back." So the fellow servant used exactly the same words as the first servant used with the king. "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. The other servants told the master everything. And then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt. Shouldn't you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" I don't know if I could forgive the things that hurt badly, if not for this, that God has forgiven me far more. In my mind, I speak to those that hurt me in this way. "You sinned against me. It's not okay. What you did to me is evil, but I forgive you. I will not hold it against you, because I sinned much more against God. What I did to God was not okay. I was evil, and he forgave me. You do not deserve my forgiveness. You have no right to it. but I forgive you, because I did not deserve God's forgiveness. I had no right to it, but he forgave me much more than I need to forgive you. He forgave me, though I was sinful, and I forgive your sin in the same way. I talk to myself like that until the rage goes away, and I do it as often as the rage comes back. But I don't know how I would do that if God had not, in fact, forgiven me much more than I've ever had to forgive anyone else. That helps me more than I can say. This story has a sober ending. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. In Matthew, several times Jesus gives a brief but graphic picture of future judgment. This is the most severe picture in Matthew. There's a fair amount of this in the New Testament. This is how my Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Jesus was satisfied to let that be the end of the story. This is about Peter if he stops forgiving after seven times. In the Lord's Prayer we say, Father in heaven, forgive us our sins as we forgive people their sins. We ask God to use us as his model. That's quite a way to get forgiveness, isn't it? Father, be like me. Be forgiving the way I'm forgiving. Please treat me as well as I treat others. That's what Jesus put in the prayer. It can be a hard line to pray. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom where God, our Father in heaven, forgives all of us our impossible debt, our overwhelming debt. God our Father forgives us many times every day, and we also all forgive each other from the heart again and again every day. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. And Jesus said if we will not forgive people, we lose the Father's forgiveness and we take ourselves out of the kingdom. We cannot afford to nurture anger in our hearts or go around getting even, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of forgiveness. Getting in requires God's forgiveness, and staying in requires ours. Amen. Let's pray. God our Father, you have been very good to us. We had no idea we owed you that much. We didn't know we were so far in the hole with you. You really have given the kingdom to the poor in spirit. Fill us again with this amazing truth. We want it to steer us with each other. Help us to bask in the sunshine of your forgiveness and to live it out with others. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. May the Lord of peace give you peace at all times, in every way. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.